to thank everybody for coming on today, on May 26, 2012. We'll be studying for today our new subjects. We're going to be asking questions about what we've been looking at in the past so that we can get a better picture of what's going on. Okay, so the first question is, what is a Jew, a European Jew, a Hebrew, an Israelite, an African, and a European?
Okay, Professor. A Jew is a race of people. I'm sorry. A Jew is a religion. And this is what they call themselves in this religion, Judaism. It's not a race of people, as most people think. And Hebrew is a race of people. And the Hebrews were originally from Africa.
So the Bible tells us that Heber was the first Hebrew. And then later on we find out that Abraham, the Hebrew, who was from the lineage of Heber. So that's what makes you a Hebrew. If you're not from the lineage of Heber, then you're not a Hebrew. Because Abraham was of the lineage of Heber, he was a Hebrew. And then all of his descendants were there after Hebrews. And he had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael, which were both Hebrews.
Okay. And a European, they were from Europe. And they came into existence in the New Testament. Basically, they put themselves in the New Testament, in the Bible.
Well, characters in the New Testament who were Europeans are Pontius Pilate, who was there to put the Messiah to give the sentence for the Messiah to die.
Oh, Herod.
You had Caesar, who was the Roman emperor. You had Cornelius of the Italian band. The Bible refers to him. The Roman soldiers. They're from Rome, which is in Spain. Okay, so what's next?
African or Ethiopian from Africa. And
and Egyptians. Anybody that lives on the continent of Africa are Africans. They're basically black people. And Europeans, in the Bible, that was them. And also today, they're from Rome, the European Jews, and the Europeans that live in America, American Americans. There's no true American, even though they think that they can make laws and policies to tell you what an American is. And has nothing to do with the truth. It's just more deception. So the European, all the white people you see here are from European Americans. Even though they might want to claim, well, I was born here. So what? Your parents are from Europe, so that's where you're from. I'm from Africa. My parents are from Africa. I'm African American. No, I'm just American. No, you can't be American. You're not. You have not married the people who were here. If you're to marry the people here, how are you going to claim their land? You don't have no heritage here.
Right.
You just stole it. And then you act like yours is real and theirs is fake.
Well, that's where they came from. The white people came from Europe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how they came over here. They came from the ships. They were being dumped out of Europe, out of the British Isles. And that's how we had the British colonies. And that's how we had George Washington and all the boys who revolted, even against their own leadership. So you had Europeans revolting against Europeans. Okay, so these new Europeans that revolted, they steal the land in America and say, now they're the Americans. They're no longer Europeans. Of course you're European.
Right.
Come on, man. Don't try to steal. Don't be trying to act like you're the real deal.
Right.
And you're the fake.
Yeah.
The counterfeit, as the Bible calls it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what the beast power is. Beast power is turning everything upside down. All the European Jews who are European, the same as the European American, they're all from the same. They're all from the same back wall.
Like the Bible says,
and they
kill and destroy. That's what the enemy does.
That's correct.
Steal, kill, and destroy.
Yep. And so that's where we are. So now so the French, the British, the Germans, Italy, Spain, France, Germany, Czechoslovakia, all of those are European, countries. Okay, so they're all European.
Wow.
So anybody comes from it, just like from African. If you come from Cameroon, if you come from Nigeria, if you come from Egypt, if you come from South Africa, if you come from the Congo, come from Sudan, these are all Africans. Now, if you want to live in America, you can call yourself African-American. But don't be feeling saying that you're the real deal.
Right.
And, your real deal is, that's not where you're from, Native American.
They're letting us know we're not the original Americans. That's why they call us African-American.
Right, but they don't call themselves European-American.
Right, because they want to be the real deal.
That's okay. That's their legacy. So what we're trying to do is get a better understanding. Okay, so now you know the Europeans, did we list all the people that we were asking about? The Europeans.
And the Africans. And the Jews.
The Jews, right. Okay, now we still need to talk about the Hebrews. I think we said that they came from Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got to talk about the Israelites.
Israelite, which came from Jacob, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. The 12 sons of Jacob. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And those were called Israelites because their father's name was?
Israel.
That's all. So you can always trace of who you are by the name. That's the key. That's all. That's like Hebrew. That's for the Hebrews. Okay? So you can't be a Hebrew unless you came from Hebrew. In some way, somebody has to connect you back to Hebrew. They're Canaanites. You can't be a Canaanite if you didn't come from the lineage of Canaan.
Okay.
A Hamite. You can't be a Hamite if you didn't come from the lineage of Ham. I mean, you can't be an Emmanuelite unless you came from Emmanuel. I mean, it's simple, man. It's not that complicated.
That's how they made the 12 tribes, right?
That's how they got the 12 tribes. That's right. From all coming from Israel. Okay, so we have to make sure a distinction between religion and race that we don't get them mixed up.
That's so important because it's usually never a distinction. I mean, many years I thought the Jewish was a race of people. I used to always think that's what it was. It was a race of people that were Jews. They were called Jews. Not that it was a religion. I mean, I learned that through the class, but I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So those are the type of things that we need to make sure we keep in mind as we study the Bible, and especially geography.
Mm-hmm.
Geography becomes very important. And then you can tell the European rule or the European role over Israel or the Bible, just like you can see the African role or Israel over Bible. And constantly you never hear in the Old Testament of any Hebrews ever going into Europe or Europeans coming into Israel. But you do have Africans and Israel always going into Africa, especially
mm-hmm.
Egypt, for all their different issues.
Right.
And into the Canaanites, with the Canaanites they hung out with, and the Hamites they cut out, and the Ethiopians they hung out with. So these were their normal people, and that's why the Bible labels that, so you can know, so when somebody else come back and tell you some hogwash, that they're the ones in charge, and God made them. No. Where are you at in the Bible, in the Old Testament? No, we don't, okay, then you can't tell me that he made you the promise and all this. I know you steal a promise, you say it's a spiritual promise, and then I got it, and you just make up anything. The key is knowledge is power. So if you don't know, you believe anything.
Right, it's just true.
And that's what we do. We just believe whatever they say. And that's the meaner thing. And we shouldn't. But that's the brainwashing mechanism that's in place, or the propaganda. Okay, so now that we've been able to clearly identify each of the group of people, okay, as we are going through all of that, then we need to get clearer. And I guess we can go back to our book, People of Color in the Bible, help us get clarity of all of these things, because that's where the key falls. Last time we read, we were still in chapter 1. Chapter 1 starts on page 20. Okay, so in summary, the first section in chapter 1 is called Adam and the Garden of Eden. Okay, in this particular chapter, we go through and identify of how Adam was made from the dirt, which comes in three major colors, red, black, and brown. And we were able to determine that Adam was a person of color, and Eve came from his rib, so she was also the same. And the word Adam is spelled A-D-H-A-M in Hebrew, and it means Adam, it's pronounced, and that has to do with the reddish-brown earth. Okay, then we went into what we call the introduction to the four rivers, which was the second section.
Mm-hmm.
And that second section dealt with the importance or the consistency of the Bible using the word Cush or Ethiopia consistently. And so we saw that the four rivers all surrounded the descendants of Cush, or they're named after the land of Cush and so forth. And then when we talk about the first civilization, which is the next section, we talk about the first civilization all beginning around the three rivers which leave the Garden of Eden. Hello, who else is on?
Speaking.
Who's that?
Lola here.
Lola, okay. All right, we're in the book. We're talking about the first civilization.
Uh-huh.
So you can know where we are.
Okay.
Hi, Lola.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Catherine.
Long time no hear. Good to hear your voice.
Too.
Okay, so we just finished up reviewing about the four rivers.
Oh, okay.
We're getting ready to get into the first civilization.
Okay.
There's some depth there. Okay, and we're on page 21 in our book.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, you have your book with you?
Oh, yes. Have it open as we speak.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Now we're going to give someone to read the first paragraph, and then I'll discuss it. We'll discuss it.
Okay. That's the words, Kush?
No, that's the introduction to the Four Rivers, the first
of them. Oh, okay. Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Word Africa found in the Bible anywhere? It is believed by some that the word Africa was given to the continent by a man named Leo Africanus in the 1500s. The last book in the Old Testament was written around 400 BC. Therefore, the answer to the question is no. Its land masses are mentioned and talked about throughout the entire Bible, beginning with Genesis chapter 2. Some ancient names for Africa are Akebulon, Kush,
Akebulon,
Kush, and the land of Ham. Go on.
No, that's first paragraph.
Okay.
Okay, as we can see here, we have, well, let me get y'all to discuss, what did y'all pick up in the first paragraph before I'll fill in whatever you guys leave out. So it's good to see what you guys are interpreting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, as we've spoken of in the past, the first thing I see is Africa, I don't believe, occurs in the scriptures. And whenever there are conquerors, they always seem to name the places after themselves and somehow obscure what the original biblical names were. So over time, you know, we sort of lose sight of where the beginning of all these things were. So 400, okay, he came in the 1500s, it says, and around 1400 is when the Old Testament was written, and the land masses of people was found before that, so it certainly could not have probably been Africa. But then when you start digging and trying to find out what was the original names, you know, you sometimes run into a little difficulty. And that's why we have to thank you that you've done the research so we don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Okay, so what names are mentioned in the Bible that refers to Africa?
Kush, Ethiopia. Well, Ethiopia wasn't even in there, really. So Kush and Ham.
When we read the King James Bible, we see the word Ethiopia in there.
Right.
Which means Kush, but
right.
The modern names we want to give it today, that's fine too, but as long as we can identify it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, and Akebulon. You'll hear about that a lot, Akebulon. That's when you study African history and stuff like that, they use the word Akebulon.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what people were referred to different, it was a portion of. A matter of fact, let me see here. I think we might have a little more info on that. In our introduction.
Mm-hmm.
I think the person who wrote the introduction, he talks a little bit about Akebulon, and he believes that Akebulon was a name mentioned that refers to a place in Africa. It's not talking about the continent of Africa. It was just one area in Africa, and they used the word Akebulon for.
Now, is you said that's in the intro?
I think. I'm looking through the intro now, and I remember discussing it with him. I'm not sure if he put it in here. I thought he might have. I mean, we had discussed it. Him and I discussed lots of things. I don't see it off the top of my head. I'll have to look for it and see if we can find it later.
Okay.
Okay, so that's not a problem. Okay, everybody knows what Kush means and all of that good stuff. Now, what does the land of Ham mean? That's mentioned.
Now, Ham is Cush's son, right?
Ham is Cush's son, you said?
Right.
No, Ham is not Cush's son.
Brother, which one is it now? Hold on.
Hey, turn to page 26. It has the lineage laid out for you.
Mm-hmm. Cush is Ham's son. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Cush is Ham's son. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what does the land of Ham mean now that you're on page 26?
Silky, the land of Ham, black African. That's those of its descendants.
Now, the answer's in the chart. So, land of Ham, and Ham is the father of the Africans, then that means what? Everybody who's an African or Africa is another name for the land of what? Ham.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where all his children dwell.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if they name the lands after them, that's why the Bible refers to the land of Ham. So that's referring to Africa, and that's the Canaanites. Wherever the land of the Canaanites was, that's the land of Ham, right? Wherever the Cushites or the Ethiopians dwelt, that was the land of Ham, right?
Right.
That was his descendants. And where the Egyptians were, okay, that was another one of his sons. So wherever the Egyptians were, that was the land of Ham. And wherever the Libyans were, that's the land of Ham.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's Africa in essence.
1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, yes, indeed.
Right, which deals with, which is the same as what we call today Africa. And that's the key. We just have to make sure that we are using the same terminologies. And that's the reason why the Bible used the word the land of Ham, because it couldn't use the word Africa because that word didn't exist yet. So
exactly.
He's telling you, okay, if you know who Ham is and you know who all his sons are and you know where they dwelt, so wherever they dwelt is the land of Ham. That simple.
Mm-hmm. Now, if we know that these were black Africans, now, is it from this mass of black Africans that we got the Israel or the Hebrews? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Catherine? Catherine. Hello. Hello. Have I lost everybody?
Catherine. Lola? Hello?
Emmanuel.
I hear you.
Okay, put yours on mute. Put yours on mute. Yes. We're trying to find out if Laura is still on. We got disconnected. Sorry about that. Okay, we're back to, we were discussing the land of Ham.
Mm-hmm.
We knew what a Kibbalon was, as we explained what a Kibbalon was, a land mass in Africa. And then we talked about Kush, Ethiopia, we know about that clearly. And so the next one that was on that list was the land of Ham. And we wanted to make sure everybody understood what that meant. Now, and I guess before we talked about it, y'all wasn't sure what the land of Ham was?
Right.
I kind of think I was. yeah.
Okay, so it depended on his descendants.
Right.
Okay. All right, so we discussed that. So we now know, comparing it to page 26, that's where it lets us know. So that's where the key is. Usually the Bible tells us in Psalms that they name the lands after themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, when he named the lands and he said it's the land of Ham, then it's named after him and his all of his descendants. And the same thing when we talk about Canaan. It's all of Canaan's descendants. It's called the land of Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the land of Cush would be all the descendants of who?
Cush.
Cush, which means burnt-faced people.
Mm-hmm.
It's referred to burnt-faced people. Okay, so, all right, now that we've understood that, is there anything, Catherine, you wanted to add to that first paragraph we read here?
No, not to the first paragraph, but in reference to the fact that Ham or Cush, Ethiopia, burnt-faced people. In the scriptures, Adam was made from the ground, and when you look it up in the Strong's, it tells you he was ruddy complexioned, which is sort of a reddish color, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what we discussed earlier before you came on.
I'm sorry. Well, you don't have to backtrack then.
Not a problem. That's on the page before, page 20. Yeah, all that's in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what I'm saying, though, is ruddy considered burnt-faced or brown or black?
Well,
or is, because that's what the Caucasians used to support, that Adam was ruddy complexion because their white skin, when they get, you know, the blood flows, they turn a little reddish or whatever, as
yeah,
opposed
rosy,
to turning brown.
Right, they call themselves reddish, rosy, or whatever phraseology
uh-huh.
they would like to use.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they refer to. We have to look at a little closer to try to make sure that we understand if it's okay. Today, when we talk about black people, we're not talking about a pitch black person.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about anybody that basically got pigmentation.
uh-huh.
Yes. So, yes. So, like some people call me reddish brown.
Okay,
so it depends on what color you're referring it to. I'm not pitch black as midnight, but I am, you can tell real clear, I'm a black man.
Right.
Okay, so that's what we're referring to.
Okay.
Not specifically a pitch black person.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That still is a black person, either context of how they would like to phrase it. They
mm-hmm.
tell you if you have one drop of what?
Black blood.
That's
you
it.
So
that's the end of that discussion. Of however they were to put it. Now remember, we come in a variety of shades. We're not like them, one shaded.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's why the book is called People of Color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Bible. And there are books that say blacks in the Bible. And I didn't use that term.
Mm-hmm.
That you can understand, yes, if reddish brown falls under that category. Okay, but it's not them turning red because they blush. That's not it at all. Okay, plus there's no white dirt that I know of. There might be white sand. White sand is not, dirt is not, you know, has nothing to do with sand. Okay, because it has all these elements of a human body. Okay, now let's go to the next paragraph. As we start to look and examine, in particular, these rivers or codes, as I saw it, that the Bible is talking about as it refers to civilizations. And the first the civilizations that we will read about that surrounds, or these civilizations that grew up around these rivers, are very important. And I believe that's what the Bible was trying to teach us. What the Bible was trying to teach us in the four rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, all right, I guess it's your turn to read.
Okay.
There, Catherine.
Mm-hmm. Page 22, right?
Next paragraph on page 22. Mm-hmm. Top.
The first civilization with record history started around the first river, somewhere at the beginning of the Nile, Blue Nile, White Nile, Mountain Nile, Victoria Nile, and Albert Nile River. These rivers lead us to the African Great Lakes, found on map 1-2. The second civilization started around the Nile River.
All right, let's stop right there for the first one. We don't want to keep going over each one. Okay, in this, when I'm talking about the first civilization here, the first civilization was surrounded by these, is what we call the African Great Lake region. Now, is everyone familiar with the African Great Lakes?
No, not me, not really.
Other than having them in your class, just writing them down from one of your classes.
Okay. Inside of our book on page 22, we have what we call, and on page 23, we have these, you see in the middle, you have something that's called Lake Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody sees that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so with Lake Victoria, in that lake, it starts up in the mountains and it flows down and it forms, it connects with the Albert Nile. So if you look here on my map on page 23, it's blown up a little more clearer than on the other map. And then it shows you from the Lake Victoria flowing northward into the Albert Nile, them two join together. And so you have a lot of lakes here. You have the Lake Albert, which is, I didn't label it that, but you have Lake Victoria, you have Lake Tanganyika, you have Lake Malawi, you have Lake Tonga.
Maui.
Maui.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and you have Lake Kivu. So all of these lakes here together make up what they call the African Great Lake region. Just like we have in America, we have what we call the Great Lakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Up near Michigan, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and that's the Lake Ontario and Lake
Michigan
and a whole bunch of other ones. Okay, so most people don't know. Most people have heard of those Great Lakes, but most people have not heard of the African Great Lakes,
right,
where civilization and stuff really began.
Mm-hmm.
So in here, I make mention that what makes up these lakes, even at the top of the Blue Nile, there's a lake at the top of the mountains up in the Blue Nile region in Ethiopia, which forms what we call the Blue Nile. Okay?
Even though it's flowing down from Lake Victoria?
Nope. Okay, Blue Nile, you'll see it all the way up on the right-hand side above the White Nile, on the right-hand side.
Right.
Okay, so the Blue Nile is a contributory to the Nile River by itself.
Okay.
Now the White Nile is made up of many rivers flowing into it. That's the Albert Nile, the Mountain Nile, the Victoria Nile. All of those flow into what makes up the White Nile. But the Blue Nile is by itself, that's in the mountains of Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually the Blue Nile and the White Nile connect together, and then after that, when they join together, then it's called the Nile River after that point.
Oh, beyond the White Nile, you say it becomes just the Nile?
The term, when you get together, when where the Blue Nile and the White Nile intersect, you see that?
Mm-hmm.
That, as it flows northward, that is what is called the Nile River from then on.
Okay, uh-huh. I see. Okay.
Okay, but the rest of these are contributaries to the Nile and their rivers. And because they're contributaries, they keep it as the same name. That's why the Nile is the longest river in the world. Because it begins all the way down at Lake Victoria and Lake Kunte. I mean, you see where it begins?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So Lake Maui is not connected to it at all? It seems like it sits on its own.
I did not have a connection over to that one.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still part of what we call the African Great Lake region.
I see.
So that one river I did not see connect to the Nile.
Mm-hmm.
And with that left out, it's still the longest river in the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So, and I remember when I was speaking to this Egyptologist, he was telling me about the Nile, I mean, about the Blue Nile and the White Nile and all this other stuff. And I said, what are you talking about? Yeah, man, it's all the African Great. I said, okay, let me go check it out. Now, the most interesting part of this, which is the interesting part, is guess where the most ancient fossils are found?
Luna?
On the planet.
In Africa.
Right. But where in Africa?
Ethiopia.
Africa is a huge place. Okay?
Ethiopia.
Turn to, I think it's on there. I was going to say turn to page 27, but I want you to turn to page 30. On page 30, notice what land masses make up or connect or are part of the African Great Lake region. What are they? Tanzania to the furthest south, right?
Ethiopia.
We on the right page, 30, you say?
Yes, page 30.
Oh, Tanzania, okay. Mm-hmm.
And Catherine said Ethiopia. Okay, what other ones?
Egypt, Euphrates.
No.
No,
Egypt has
not
nothing to do with the African Great Lake region.
Oh, it's stuck.
Because don't remember, we're looking at the first river. The Nile up in Egypt and all that, that's the second river.
Okay.
We're looking at the first rivers
mm-hmm.
that left the Garden of Eden, which is in the African Great Lake region. So that's mm-hmm. why I've asked you, what countries make up the African Great Lakes? Or what countries are the African Great Lake regions located? One was Tanzania.
Uganda.
Uganda, mm-hmm. yes. That's why I'm saying look at the map. It's right in front of you guys. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
So you got those are the four areas, Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania, and Ethiopia. They're the areas that make up what we call the African Great Lake region. Now, guess where the most ancient fossils are found on the planet? Kenya, Tanzania. So now we have Ethiopia and Uganda, the same places where the Bible says. The main places is Kenya and Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have the African Great Lake regions where the first river began matching with the most ancient fossils on the planet, matching where the Bible says the first river or first civilization began.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask for more.
Mm-mm.
Sure, the white man wants more, but there's no more to give him, so forget that. But can you see how that all plays together?
Mm-hmm.
That would make sense. And how could you say that you are a Bible believer and you don't even know where the great first river came from?
And Professor, you're saying this is where the oldest bones in the whole world?
That's correct. That's what they said. That's where they find them, in Kenya and Tanzania.
Hmm.
But at the same time, when you talk to the Christians, no way could the four rivers be in Africa. They're in what? Mesopotamia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They can't be in Africa because God ain't interested in black people. That's basically what they're saying. And the first rivers that they say, the only two rivers we know for sure is the Tigris and Euphrates. But those are the last two rivers. Those are not the most important. They're the least important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would make most sense. But they changed the name, though, of, let me go back here for a second. Something I was, okay. So the Gihon and the Pihon?
Pison and Gihon.
Okay. So these rivers now are no longer called by those names today, right?
No. Matter of fact, no. That's why we're going back and we're going over the names and we're going to give you what the new names are.
Okay.
Or what they have changed them to. Because there's no such thing as the white now. Ain't nobody talking about no white people on the planet back then. So you're not going to find it under those names.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, they renamed everything, you know. You know them. They came down here. They said that the Egyptians aren't Egyptians. The Egyptians called themselves Kemets. And the Europeans said, no, you're no longer Kemets, man. You are now Egyptian. And the Cushites called themselves Cushites, and they said, no, you're not Cushites, you're Ethiopian. So, yes, they keep changing the names. And we have to go back and find the sources of, that's why if you're a Bible believer or Bible historian or Bible researcher, you have to know geography and history. If you don't know geography, then, you know, they can tell you, I spoke with one guy who called himself the president of the Pennsylvania Conference, white guy. And I was trying to talk to him about my book and so forth. And he looked through it and he said, well, this can't be true. How could the Canaanites be black? They didn't tell me that at Andrews when I got my master's.
Mm-hmm.
So he did, and he said, well, listen. And he said, listen, the people in the Bible, they look just like me, a typical white boy from Michigan. End of discussion. So he has no clue of geography. And we accept that because we have no clue of what? Geography.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then they can tell you anything. Yeah, man, the man is on the moon. You believe it. Yeah, man, the man's on the moon. Yeah, we have the moon. So geography and the Bible give you lots of geography and ancient history. So you have to bring them together. And what we just did was, all we did was just go through the Bible, read about the description, and we're seeing that it what? It fits in this region, which fits with what? Fossils.
Mm-hmm.
And it fits geographically.
Yeah.
You see? So those are the most important parts.
Plus, it makes sense now because if Adam and Eve was found in Africa, which would be the oldest fossils, right, and their descendants, it makes sense. If, you know, this place is a place where life began.
Uh-huh.
Now, everybody says that but the Christians. And then when we say, well, they're atheists, so we can't believe them. But I don't care if they're atheists. They didn't dig for the bones of the bones. They didn't put bones in there. You can't test people's DNA and test it and say that, hey, this DNA says that everybody has a similar gene as Africans. Oh, but we can't accept that because that's atheism. Well, wait a minute. That just agrees with the Bible. If we believe you guys, y'all tell us anything. And y'all have been.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this here not just agrees with geographically and historically, it also agrees with the DNA. They said that they had a Natural Geographics had taken the DNA from percentages from women from all around the world. I think it was 78 women around the world. And they tested it to see if we have similar DNA. And they said that everybody had the same typical DNA as a Bush woman in the land of Kush, or what we call today Sudan, which fits in where? Right in Ethiopia, right into what we just said, what we just agreed on. So you got DNA, you got fossils, you got geography, all agreeing with, guess what? The Bible. Not agreeing with what tradition teaches, agreeing with what the Bible teaches. Two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's important. And so that's why, matter of fact, in my second book, I think I expand more because I didn't want to expand in this book because, you know, you can't cover everything. In it, we were talking specifically about we'll talk about the gold later, and the gold of that land was good. There's delium and the onyx stone. We'll talk about that later. That the temperature that's up in the African Great Lake region, they said the temperature is like perfect.
Mm.
Perfect. Just as where a Garden of Eden would be.
Mm-hmm.
Less disease, everything. I mean, it is just to the max. And I said, my goodness, well, if the Bible teaches all of this, and this is saying all this, why ain't nobody else figuring this thing out? Now, black historians tell us, and they say, well, we don't believe them because they atheists. Well, I would be atheist, too, if y'all been lying to me all my life, and then I'm supposed to accept you, and you tell me I'm wrong, and I know I'm right. If you want to call me atheist, call me atheist. But, hey, you deceived.
mm-hmm.
So that's what's been going on. So I was able to, and see, the key was, the beauty of this was to take the science and bring science into the Bible to show how the Bible correlates with science.
Mm-hmm.
How science supports the Bible.
Hallelujah.
Okay? It doesn't support tradition. That's the key. It doesn't support tradition. Don't get the two mixed up. This has nothing to do with what quote-unquote Christianity, because Christians will tell you you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because the scholars, the European scholars that go to school did not tell us that. And that's what that guy told me, the president. He said, man, if the Canaanites were black, they would have told me, point blank. So what is? There's nothing to discuss, Emmanuel. Your book is off. I said, you can't even think. I mean, there's nothing for me to debate with you, man. If you can't even think, if you're telling me... The people in the Bible look just like me, a typical white boy from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
End of discussion. Now, that was all the pictures that he's ever been shown. So, I mean, you know, so we can't expect them to tell us anything besides, you know, the counterfeit. So, but anyway, so I wanted us to touch on that point because I thought that was important. I didn't want us to run past that because that would not have been good. We'd have had to come back to that. Okay, and so that's where the first civilization basically had gathered around. And it makes sense. You can't have a civilization and Yahweh wouldn't put people somewhere where there's not abundance of what?
Water.
Water.
Yeah.
Simple. And then you'll find out that the three main civilizations that the Bible are talking about all surrounded and are built up around the four rivers. See, the Bible was telling us a whole lot of things. It wasn't just talking about a little joke story about four rivers. It was talking about a lot of history that existed for thousands of years so that you can go back and trace it where it is. And that's where it would have been, and that's where it began. So around these rivers, around the Great Lake regions, that's where we find the ancient fossils. That's where civilization began. And then what they did was they started traveling as they got bigger and bigger. And the land couldn't support them, then they would move northward. They would start following what? The river.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you got the four rivers. You follow those rivers, and they connect to each other, and then eventually you got another group that stops then, another group, okay, we're getting too big, we'll move forward, we'll go for it, because we got all the water we want, so we ain't got to worry about that.
Right.
If we got water, we can grow food, we're doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to conquer, kill you, and wipe you out, and all that crazy stuff. You only do that up in a cold climates when you have to kill to eat. In this warm climate, you got food everywhere. It's a bit abundant. There's nobody killed and nothing, hunger and all that. And you got water. You got everything.
So why is it then today we're seeing that this is where the most starvation is occurring over in those African countries?
No, it's not in all of those African countries. In Ethiopia, where they have a famine. That's the key, where they're having the famine. In South Africa, nobody's starving down there. The only thing they will be starving from is the Afrikaners keeping food from them.
Right, right.
I mean, that's all that's about. That ain't it. You only hear about starvation in Ethiopia because of a famine. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we make it think as if all of Africa is, you know. Well, how could all of Africa? Africa is the breadbasket of the planet. Where do you think the Europeans? Why do you think Europeans had all of them colonies and went into Africa? So they can get all the gold. They can get all the tea. They can grow all the bananas. They can grow all their food. That's where they got it from.
Mm-hmm.
And we act like the places, you know, ain't got nothing. And it supports the entire planet. Now how can that be?
Probably
all the gold and stuff, the majority of the gold, guess where it comes from?
Africa,
of course, yeah.
Okay, so why is Africa the poorest planet, the poorest country on the planet?
Because everybody.
Well, I mean, you've seen the propaganda, the TV.
Yeah, okay, but you see, like you, and that's why I was trying to get you to think. You just asked me the question: if Africa got all this food, why are they starving?
Uh-huh.
Everybody's stealing from them. Everybody's going over there taking it.
And see, now remember, see, in Africa they had food growing everywhere, so they would force, when the colonists came in, they would force them to give up their crops and just grow bananas. For who? To take the Europe. And then they say, okay, well, we don't need you to do all this stuff anymore. Just grow tea. And then we transport it to Europe. And then they say, okay, we want you to have rubber. So we'll get rubber. Guess where the rubber comes from? Africa. But they don't have no manufacturing plants down there. They ship the rubber over to what? Into Europe to make it. So they're just robbing it of its natural resources.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you'll be poor. Because they were showing how that where all the rubber comes from, that the people there don't even have tires to go in their cars. Because it's so expensive after they ship it to them and then the Europeans ship it back to them, it's like, what, 3, 4, 5,
mm-hmm.
10 times the price.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, we're the ones who have the resources. Hey. And so, see, so that's what the problem is. The same thing with diamonds. They said you can pick up the diamonds. I don't know if y'all saw the movie Blood Diamond.
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
Well, you need to see it. Y'all need to go see it. You get on video, and it talks about the trade of how in Africa that they have them, you know, the Europeans have them mining all the diamonds and stuff, killing each other to take it, and then they give it to the Europeans, and then the Europeans take it and hide it, and they call it blood diamonds.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's what the whole movie's about. So then you get a documentary, a history of what's actually going on and why you're having these wars and having what
yeah.
you have.
Isn't
and
that's
basically what's happening.
That's funny because that's like the most precious stone in the world is a diamond, and it would be in Africa.
That's where the majority. That's why I said the whole planet rotates around Africa for gold, which the money market is based on, and diamonds. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, how did this happen? You know, okay, so, but anyway, so we're just trying to get you to see and go back, and so up in that arid African Great Lakes, this is where life was started and supported. Okay, let's get back to our page 22 here. Okay, so what I was saying was that the first civilization with written history started around the first river, somewhere between the beginning of the Nile. And then we showed you where the Nile began, the Victoria, the Albert, the You know, so all the way down, basically the African Great Lake region, period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it says, the next one, these rivers lead us to the African Great Lakes found on map 1.2. The second civilization started around the River Nile, okay, the second portion of where the Great Lakes began, referred to as the Nile Valley Civilization. Now, have y'all heard about the Nile Valley Civilization before?
Not other than your teaching.
Discuss it, but yeah, I've heard of that.
Okay, the Nile Valley Civilization, that's an important civilization. Now, this is the second civilization, and this is around the second river, Gihon. Okay? Now, this civilization is what we call where all Western civilization began. And they went to, the Europeans went to the school, you know, in Egypt. That's where Pythagoras got his Pythagoras theorems that he's famous for in geometry. That's where Plato got his knowledge from, and all of these other, you know, European characters that they say, that they went down into Egypt to study. Now, inside of the Nile Valley civilization is what we call the Egyptian civilization. That's the Nile Valley. So all you do was just follow the Nile River going northward, and you would see civilization statics growing up around it. And so one was called the Valley of the Kings. I don't know if y'all heard of that before.
Yeah.
Mhm. Catherine, no? Okay. The Valley of the Kings is where there was lots of kings that were buried and so forth, and they put in the Aswan Dam there. So they said that this, you know, all of these artifacts and everything there, they flooded that whole area so that no one could ever get any more documentation proving that the Africans and the civilizations and the stuff they were from the beginning.
It was all the African kings?
Yes, the African kings of Egypt.
The pharaohs.
Not just the pharaohs, the ones before the pharaohs, other people, and all the rest of that.
Okay.
So lots of them were buried down, and that's why it's called the Valley of the Kings. And that's where a lot of them were buried. Mm-hmm. And then you had some, and so they flooded that entire area so that we could never find again, because people were studying it and pulling out all type of things. And they said, okay, we got to figure out how to stop people from getting to these artifacts down in the Valley of the Kings. And they said, no problem, we'll just flood it with water and make it a dam and tell them that tell the black people they need it.
That's why they need the dam.
Yep. So that's one of the keys. Because, I mean, they had the flooding that goes into the Nile River, so everybody knew how to deal with that. For centuries, for millenniums, they did that. So you didn't have to flood it. I mean, you didn't have to flood the Valley of the Kings to get yourself some water, you know, to say that you want to control the water and help people. You're just deceiving the people.
Mm-hmm.
There's another motive behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some books that are out that talks about the Nile Valley civilization. That's where you had, like I said, the Egyptian civilization. That's where you had Egyptology. That's where you had the universities. And in the universities back in those days, they had liberal arts school. They had geometry. They had algebra. All of the stuff that we learned in school today and college, that's what they had. They had philosophy. They had music. They had everything that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's where the Nile Valley civilization is all about. It's a civilization that the Europeans have stolen and claim it to themselves. As some would say, I don't know if y'all heard of the book, The Stolen Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, by Jackson, yes. So Stolen Legacy is a typical example of what was going on. So in the Nile Valley civilization, that's when they had medicine, that they said that they found people that they had open heart surgery. They had brain surgery back then. All the stuff we just figured out ourselves today.
You said the Europeans stole. What did they steal?
They stole our civilization and claimed it to themselves. So Western civilization is basically portions of the Nile Valley civilization. That's why I said they had, like our schools today, the whole system is set up there. Arithmetic, geometry, algebra, liberal arts, music, science, all of these different things were part of the was part of the Nile Valley civilization. They even had in the Nile Valley civilization what you call the resurrection. Did y'all know that?
Hmm.
You still with us, Lola?
I'm with you.
Okay. Did you know that?
I'm trying to think. I probably have run across something of the sort.
Okay.
It's like a concept that I've really embodied, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah,
okay.
I've heard that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now some people will leave and say, well, the Bible or the people stole the stuff from the Bible, from the African civilization.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so that's why some people go back to Egyptology to say that that was before, so then they would become Egyptologists. But most people don't know the religion of Egyptology anyway, so it's, you know, you're still in a maze.
I know, and I think I had discussed that with you previously a while back, that a number of my friends, actually, about five to be exact, have gone into Egyptology and just discarded the scriptures because they say we borrowed it, the Christians or the white man borrowed all this information for the Bible from the Egyptian civilization, so we have to go back to the original, our ancestors, and gain the true history, but it's certainly not the religion we've been handed. That part I can agree with. However, what I can't agree with is that to discard the scriptures and go after, just because it was the ancient civilization does not mean that that's what we must follow, because remember, Yah called a special people out of the whole world of civilizations and what have you, and he called them the Israelites. So, and the Israelites' Bible, the book that was given to them, was the scriptures. So, yeah, the civilizations existed before we got the written scriptures, but that still does not discount that this was Yah's communication to man. And it's just been a challenge trying to...
Well, okay, this is where the issue lies with them. Nobody knows what the ancient religion was.
That's what I'm telling you.
Well, that's where their issue is. If they knew where if they could all agree on what is the Egyptian religion, that would be a whole nother issue. But the issue is they can't even agree amongst themselves what it teaches.
You see?
But see, this is the key. But that's good, because in the key is, I remember, I was speaking to an Egyptologist, and he said Dr. Ben and the young people, the older people versus the younger people, were debating amongst themselves about Egyptology. And so this younger group got together, and they put this book together, and they said, okay, this is the interpretation of the Book of the Dead, that's what we would call it today, but that's not the Book of the Dead, it's the Rising by Day, I think is the name of the real book. And so he wrote the interpretation of what he said it was, and they said, that's good, the old guys, but they said, you can't write it and say that this is dogmatically is the correct view of it. Because it's all by inspiration. The Yahweh has to teach you what it is.
Mm-hmm.
He has to train you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all by inspiration, and then and that's what the Bible teaches. Isn't that right? That
absolutely.
Yahweh will guide you into what?
All truth.
Thank
yep.
you. Right, so there is no one cut dry. And so they broke up over that.
Mm-hmm.
The younger ones said no. The old people, they just jealous because they didn't come up with it first. And the old people said, no, but we saw that, man. But we understand clearly that it's all by inspiration. And so they're really not teaching anything different than what the Bible is teaching, if it's all by inspiration. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Holy men spake as they were moved by the Ruach HaKodesh.
Right. So that's how you can talk to them if they really know what they're talking about.
Oh, we know they don't, and they're searching and struggling.
Right. And so when I talk to them, I mean, an Egyptologist told me that. I mean, so I understand very clearly. So I'm only going by what I understand, but I'm taking the Bible from since I know it's an African book, I don't take the Eurocentric viewpoint. And so basically what people are saying who leave and so forth, that they're tired of the Eurocentric viewpoint because most of them don't understand the true viewpoint of the Bible.
Exactly, yep.
And that's all it's about, which is okay. I mean, they're just trying to grow. I understand their dilemma. I mean, if somebody been lying to you all your life, why are you going to listen to them now? I mean, hey, I understand, man. I understand, you know.
No, but Emmanuel, there's a danger and
we understand that. But I'm just saying, we understand that we understand. But the bottom line is, if you've been deceived all your life, you're having problems. You understand what I'm saying?
I got you. Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. So they might have to eventually grow up. You know, they have to grow up and realize that hey, this is not it neither. So I really need to go back to the inspiration of the Spirit. And if they do find anything, and if they're led by the Spirit, they're going to come to the same conclusion anyway.
Exactly.
So, you know, I talk with them, but most of them don't know what they're talking about. So, so that's where the problem is. And, you know, everybody's just trying to search for truth. And you can't blame people for trying to search for truth.
Oh, no, I don't blame
that's
them.
That's what the whole deal is all about. It ain't about nothing else, but trying to find out is truth. No more.
Mm-hmm.
That's the avenue they have to go through for now, and hopefully they'll come out of it, you know. Hopefully. I mean, that's all you can say.
Yeah.
And pray for them. That's it. All right. So anyway, so now y'all got a better understanding of what the Nile Valley civilization was about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, see, the key is if you wasn't a true Egyptian priest, your job was to go around the world and to share the gospel with people and to teach them about the Creator and teach them the spiritual teachings, but allow them to implement it into their culture, into their civilization, any way they saw fit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yes, so that's not a problem. So if the Hebrews, they would implement it differently than others would do it. You see what I'm saying? Which would not be a violation of the spirit of the Egyptian text or the teachings. But most people don't know that, so everybody's trying to be dogmatic like the Europeans. Turn yours back on. Okay, this phone looks like it's going to die in a minute. Okay, what we'll do is let's give us 15 minutes. It's around 3:01 now. So at 3:15, we'll come back.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, dear.
All right. Bye-bye.